Let me start off to say this is a little out of my comfort zone here. When I got the news that I get to do this today, I knew basically right away what God was wanting me to share on. It's kind of neat how that works. You know, you wonder if, you know, if you ever get, you know, when they talked about ever getting asked to preach, you know, they said that they might ask some people to preach sometime. But then when I got the news that I was able to preach, I had the opportunity to preach, I should say. God basically told me about right away what He would want me to say. And I got that kind of through a song that had been playing, that's been playing on the radio, and y'all have probably heard it, and I'll play it at the end here. But it's a song that talks about God is near you in your troubled times. I've titled, I guess if you call it a title, for what I want to share is Good in Troubled Times. And it's I want to say it as an encouragement to each one of y'all and to me as well. I mean, it's been a real encouragement to me to look at this. And it's to try to find what God's trying to show you, the good, even when times seem bad. You know, I'm sure if I'd ask everyone here, if you ever go through difficult times, I'm sure everyone here could raise their hand, because it's something we all go through. And it's up to us how we respond when them times come. You know, we can get angry and bitter at God for letting those things happen, or we can, as I said earlier, we can try to sit down and try to focus on what God may be trying to tell us. My text, verses I'll be getting this out of is Romans 8, 28 to 30. And I'll go ahead and read that now. And then I'll go back through there. I'm going to mainly focus on verse 28, but I'll read through verse 30 there. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. There's kind of a humor story I come across here. It's a story of this story of a king in Africa. He had a real close friend with him while he was growing up, and his friend always had a habit of looking at everything, whether it was positive or negative, and saying, "This is good." One day, the king and his friend were out on a hunting expedition, and his friend had loaded. I guess he'd done everything for the king, so he loaded had his guns all loaded, and he must have loaded one of them wrong, because when the king fired, the gun misfired, and his thumb was blown off. Man, you know, I can just imagine the king there in pain, and his friend was like, "This is good." You know, and his king replied, "No, this ain't good." And he sent his friend off to jail, put him in jail for what he did. Then about a year later, the king was hunting in that in an area where he knew he shouldn't have been, and there was cannibals that captured him, tied his hands and stacked some wood, and they were fixing to kill him, and then they noticed his thumb was missing, so they were very superstitious about that, and they didn't want to deal with that, so they just let him go. And then as he returned home, the king was like, he thought back of when his friend, what his friend had said, and he felt remorse for how he treated him. So he immediately went to jail and got him out. And he said, "You were right." He said, "It was good that my thumb was blown off." And then he proceeded to tell him what had happened. And then he said, "And it was bad for me to send you to jail. I'm sorry for that." And then his friend's like, "No, this is good." He said, "What do you mean? How can that be good? I sent you to jail for a whole year." And his friend said, "If I had not been in jail, I'd have been with you." So it's just kind of a, you know, if we really look deep into situations, what we come across, there's something that God is trying to show us, and that, you know, if we just have to try to look at what God wants to show us. The word "no" in this verse, another word for "no" is the way this is mean is confident. So, you know, we can be confident that God will work the good, works for the good of those who love Him. So, and also right before that, the word "all." And that's a very broad word. I mean, it means all of one's possessions, energy, or interest. So, we can be confident that in every aspect of our life, God works the good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, the word "good" in this verse doesn't mean earthly comfort as it kind of maybe sounds. But it means, I mean, it can mean that God will be faithful in that whatever, God will be faithful in that whatever He brings sends our way, whatever the difficulty may be. He will give us the grace and strength to get through it. And in the next verse, it kind of explains why God allows these times to come. And it's to, because God knows He's got a will for our lives, and He knows where He wants to take us in life. And in order for Him to do that, He's got to allow us these times to go through to conform us or to shape us to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. So as it says there, conform to the likeness of His Son. So, and I know all of us, that's our ultimate goal, is to be more like Jesus. And so if we can think of that when we go through these times, I think it'd make it a lot easier to get through them. Now I know there's some trials that we go through that are more difficult than others. Some, you know, might not be, and we can get over rather. You know, it might just be a day or so we're down and then we're up. Some of them take longer than others. I think one of the most difficult things to go through would be through losing someone. And I haven't had that. I'm thankful that I haven't had to go through that yet. But, you know, one day I possibly will, but someone close to me anyway. My reason I bring this up, before I even was going to talk on this, I didn't realize that this would have been my sister-in-law. Maybe y'all are friends with her on Facebook. She posted something on. But it would have been 11 years ago last week that she lost their first daughter, and they were only born. She was only lived for a couple of days. And I wrote down here what she had said. I'll read a little excerpt of what she said. And I just thought it was real fitting with what God was showing me to tell on today. It said, "I picture my heart looking like a little broken water picture that was shattered and glued back together. I like to visualize God bending down and picking up my shattered and broken heart, piece by piece, over the years, putting it back together again. I know the pain and tears that went into every piece being put back into place. I know what it feels like to have God's hand of love cradling my shattered heart as He was putting it back together. I know where all the leaks are that need to be re-glued. I so often wonder what kind of person I would be today if I would not have been broken. Would I feel compassion for the hurting? Would my heart physically feel the pain of others who have lost loved ones? Would I treasure my husband and children and not taking them for granted? Could I see pain in someone's eyes without words being spoken? Would I feel the presence of God like I have? Would I be homesick for heaven and have a longing to be there? Would heaven seem so far away and not like a real place to me? What would my priorities be?" I just read that, and I think that's just a beautiful picture of God taking someone's life and conforming it and to be more like His Son Jesus. You know, I like how she says she used the example as a water picture. You know, if you have a solid object here and you want to reshape it, what are you going to have to do? The first thing you have to do is break it. And then if we allow God to, if we look to God for our strength, He'll take that broken vessel and put it back together according to how He wants us to be put back together in that sense. And also, like, every year, I'm sure, like this was 11 years ago, it's another reminder. And I'm sure a couple pieces might fall out. Like she says, they need to be re-glued. And again, it's just a reminder that that God is in control of our lives. And I know, like, for me to look at that and say, I could never go through that. I don't know. I mean, looking at it now, I don't see how I could. But we're only hurting ourselves when we think that. When we think, what's going to happen? What would ever happen if I would have to go through that? But as I said earlier, God is faithful. He will, when that time comes, He will be there to help us through that time. He will give us the grace and strength. He will not fail in that area. And I'm thankful that we have an avenue of prayer to go to God. And I don't think it's wrong for us to pray that hard times would not come. Because Jesus, He did it in the garden when he prayed to His Father that the cup would pass from Him. But in that the same sense, we should want the will of God ahead of our own will. God gives us He gives us what we'll need, not what we want. And I'm thankful that God's available 24/7. There's a little article here called entitled Voicemail. And it's just kind of a thing. What if heaven would be like this here? While we have a direct access to our Heavenly Father, imagine if He had one of those computer answering devices. It might sound something like this. As we begin prayer, we hear, "Thank you for calling your Heavenly Father's house. Your call may be monitored for quality assurance. Please select one of the following options. Press 1 for prayer requests. Press 2 for prayers of thanksgiving. Press 3 for prayers containing complaints. Press 4 for all other prayers." And then you say, "Oh, I'm sorry. All of our angels are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayers are important to us and will be answered in the order received, so please stay on the line. If you would like to leave a voice message for God the Father, press 1 now. Jesus Christ, press 2 now. The Holy Spirit, press 3 now. If you would like to hear the King David singer sing a psalm while you are holding, please press 4 now. To find out if a loved one has been assigned to heaven, please enter his or her social security number without dashes, then press the pound key. For nagging questions about dinosaurs, the real age of the earth, where Noah's Ark is, or any other questions, please wait until you arrive here. Our computers indicate that you have already prayed once today. Please hang up and try again. The office is closed on weekends, any state federal holiday. Please pray again between 9:30 and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, except holidays. If you need emergency assistance when this office is closed, contact your local pastor." And I'm thankful it's not like that. You know, in the middle of the night, no matter what time it is, if we have a need come up, something we're struggling with, we can go to God. He's there. He's, you know, any time of the day, and he's there. He knows the pain we've gone through because he went through the struggles on this earth too. And so he feels our hurt, and he wants to help us out, and he is right there, willing to help us. And I think nature shows us a good example of something that has to go through hard times to be able to be shaped into what it was meant to be. You know, the moth is in a, you know, it starts out as a worm, then it gets into a cocoon. And, you know, it has to force its way through the neck of the cocoon by hours of intense struggle. It says, entomologists explain that this pressure to which the moth is subjected is nature's way of forcing a life-giving substance into its wings. And this one guy, he wanted to lessen the seemingly needless trials and struggles of the moth, so he cut with small scissors, he snipped the restraining threads to make the moth's emergence painless and effortless. And it goes on to say that the creature never developed the wings that it needed to fly. And said for a brief time before its death, it just simply crawled instead of flying through the air on rainbow-colored wings as it was intended to be. So that's just I think that's a good picture of God sending things our way to turn us, to shape us into what He wants us to be. You know, if we wouldn't have these times, if we go through these times, we can be used of God in much more ways than we can imagine. Like the moth, sure, it lived for a little while, but it was just crawling. It couldn't. The ultimate, you know, thing for the moth is to turn into a butterfly and be able to fly. And so, here at the end, I got, you know, one day our life here on earth will be done. And, you know, I hope each one of y'all and me can say what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7 through 8. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." And I hope that's each one of y'all's desire, is just to persevere on here. It'll all be worth it one day when our life here is done, when God calls us home. And that's all I have. Get them to play that song. Y'all probably heard it. It's a song by Laura Story called Blessings. And it just goes for, the main thing is, the chorus is, what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your mercies come through tears, or something like that. I forget the exact words, but can't think of it right now. But it just shows that take what's going on, look to God, and try to just focus on what He's trying to tell you. You know, the story behind that song is they were married about 7 years now, but 2 years into their marriage, he got a brain tumor, and he was in the hospital for a while on breathing machines, but thankful he's out of the hospital now, but he's still left with some disabilities. That's Laura's husband, the lady that wrote the song. But still, through that, Laura, she got the insight and the God showed her to write this song that, and it's through that it's helped many people to, even if times seem difficult, that there's always to look for what God's trying to show you. And I'll play that song and then turn it back over to Jerry when he says.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if the thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, what if
trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise.
How many of you have lived long enough that as you think of what Jason was sharing, that you put a specific incident in your mind that came to you of